How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Oh,
as we know it.
Yeah, coming up later in the show, the world's end.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright's final nice installment end. In the Cornetto trilogy.
Masterpiece.
It's really good.
So good.
And Amy will be reviewing Cam for Straight to Video Russian Roulette. Amy is here. Of course, you? Obviously. Mikey B.
I'm Mikey B.
Kelly is here.
We got an air fryer.
Did you? Yeah? I want one.
It's so great.
What do you think? Yeah.
This is. I was saying this to you guys, but you're busy paying attention to other things.
Oh, no. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I totally missed it.
Yeah, I said you should come over for wings.
Yeah.
Because we make perfect wings.
Yeah.
They're so crispy.
Oh.
Like pigeon wings?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Hmm.
My Black Friday presents to myself are starting to come in. So
yeah.
I just got an Instapot.
Oh, they're great. We use ours.
So yeah? I feel like I'm behind on all these cooking.
Yeah.
I don't cook.
Yeah, we don't have any of that stuff. We have a slow cooker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. That's you're going to love your Instant Pot.
I got a rice cooker.
We have an oven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Freddy, by the way.
Freddy's
I don't know
here.
If I said that.
No, you didn't.
Who cares?
So a fryer, what's an air fryer?
It like it fries things as if it were like a deep fryer.
Okay.
But like with, I think you put like a little bit of oil in the bottom, but basically it does it with hot air. And so it's a lot less oil and fat, and it's very fast.
Mm.
So good.
So can you make like French fries?
Yeah, you do anything. We made a steak in it.
So it's healthy French fries?
Healthier.
How was the steak made in an air fryer?
Good. I don't know how it happened. She just did it.
And I mean how it was good when it came out?
Yeah.
You don't know how she did it?
Like, I know she Science. Made it happen.
I like that you were like, I think you put some oil in it. Kelly has never operated the air fryer.
Oh, no, definitely not. We just got it.
Does Elise not let you?
No, she would.
She's like, I don't know, honey. That's a really advanced. Complicated piece of machinery.
Oh, no. She wants me to. I'm just it's cool if you do it.
You come out
it's
all cool. wrapped in bandages from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like me. I banged my knee trying to podcast.
And you did.
Hurt
you did.
Real bad.
You made some faces over
he
there.
He injured Ooh. Himself.
You get good face, though, Freddie.
Oh, thank you.
No problem, man.
Just like Rhea Hayworth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The elbows and knees, man. What is up with those nerves?
I don't know. What about the shoulders, head, and toes?
Knees and toes.
My neck.
My back.
What else is there?
My crack.
There's my pussy. And I think my crack.
And
okay,
crack.
There it is.
I think they all connect.
Yep,
to the shin
They're all connected, but it's all about how you wipe it.
Mm-hmm. From front to back.
Speaking of, transition back into what we were talking about.
Please do.
I'm not I don't like to cook.
Me either.
But I do like a gadget.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Instapot, I'm hoping. I've discovered that a long time ago, every man is supposed to know how to make chili. That's what I hear. I don't know if that's written in a book somewhere that we're all supposed to know how to
make
chili.
Yeah, every man is supposed to have a chili recipe and be able to build one thing in his life.
Is this part of toxic masculinity?
I think so.
It is.
But it's how you get a man into a kitchen.
Are you shitting all over yourself?
Yeah.
I should know how to make chili.
I should. So I'm hoping the Instapot is the saving because I hear it's magic.
I've never made chili. We've never made chili in the Instapot. But I'll tell you what. You make ribs fall off the bone ribs in the Instapot that are outstanding.
You can make yogurt in that thing.
You make anything in it. We make we make boiled eggs in it in five minutes. Amy.
So
what?
I want to figure out how to make chili, and I want to figure out how to make a zucchini into spaghetti.
Oh, yeah, we do that, too.
Well, see, there you go.
I want to know how to make lead into gold.
Yeah?
Well, there is an alchemist pot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get that.
Is it an Insta Alchemist pot?
It is.
I think it's
from
on
the makers of
Amazon's lightning deals today.
Oh, oh good.
So you should check
12 days
out.
Of Christmas.
Worried because we missed the Black Friday deal.
Right.
My Masonic Lodge just, they keep dropping the ball on it. It keeps coming out as lead.
I heard they can make diamonds out of like a chemical process now.
Well, they're forever.
Yeah, cubic zirconia. They always could.
Zirconia.
Zirconia.
You know.
The Lion, the Witch, and
zirconia.
Zirconia
on the cob.
Cubic zirconia.
Yeah.
My favorite precious gems.
My favorite fake diamonds.
I've made chili three times, and all of them have been in a slow pot. And every single time, people are like, you can't mess this up. And then I get excited and I come home from work and I open my door up and it smells like the worst thing you've ever smelled.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I have never done well with chili in a slow cooker.
Yeah.
On the stovetop.
You got to make it in a real honest goodness stock pot.
In a stock pot. Yes.
That's... See, you guys are crushing me because I was hoping Instant Pot was the secret.
Well, no, Instant Pot might work well. Like a slow cooker.
It's got to, or I give up.
The thing about chili is you need both the benefit of high heat cooking in small doses.
Yeah.
And then long simmering time, and if you don't have both of those things, you don't get the really great chili.
Okay,
I'm interested in seeing how this turns out.
Yeah, I should try it and tell me if it is.
I'm going to.
It's different than a slow cooker.
Because if it works out, I might have like a tiki and chili bar.
Yeah.
The key is the first step. You got to caramelize all the onions and the peppers and stuff. Have to all,
Instant Pot does that, Freddie.
It has to all happen on the bottom of a big stock pot.
And everybody tells me it's all about the Instant Pot.
Then you get your roux going down there. Then you add your beans and all that and your corn. And you just some people put celery in there.
Push a button.
There's a lot of good Facebook groups with Instant Pot recipes.
Oh, yeah. Is it instant or insta?
Instant.
Okay, so it's not, it's the A. Okay, I gotcha. It's a soft A.
If you take a picture of it and put it on Instagram, it's an Instapot.
Yes, that's true.
Listeners, is this the content that you came here for? I don't care.
According to Reddit, it is. Because
my cooking is terrifying.
They love it. They love when we're off book.
We've received some feedback, and they love this is what people come to listen to.
Can we
discuss? They don't give a fuck about our movie reviews.
I have not visited the Reddit group because it makes me nervous.
It makes me nervous, too. It's not for us.
It's not for us.
It's for the listeners.
No, but I don't...
So you don't have to.
Okay, good.
No, my point is, like, the reason there's a Reddit community is for people who listen to the show.
Share your favorite Instant Pot recipes.
You could do that.
You know, and...
Should I get one?
We had... somebody was like, hey, if I put criticisms up here, will I be banned? I'm like...
No, of course
why
not.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't we ban you?
Just kidding. Wait, No, I
respond. No, why would we ban you is what I meant to say.
I am in there pretty much every day, so I will respond to you if you Reddit something at me.
Yeah.
See, you Reddit something at me, bro.
It's not psychologically healthy for anyone to read criticism of themselves.
I feel like all of this is your way of saying, like, well, maybe you guys don't want to go into the Reddit.
No, hey, it's mostly good just stuff. Just be gentle. Okay, 99.9% of it.
You can criticize, but be gentle.
We're all human beings here.
Don't criticize me for things I can't change, like my laugh.
You could. You have can't a beautiful change laugh. If you wanted.
I've heard compliments of your
laugh.
I can't
change. Thank you.
That's true.
Even if I don't want to do.
And just remember that, you know, Freddie's parents just passed away, so be cool, all right?
Uh-huh. Everybody be cool.
Don't be an asshole.
So I want to talk about Patreon.
Yes.
And then I want to also talk about Dent Schoolhouse.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Everything we did. Yeah. First off, Patreon, thank you so much. Patreon.com/NOTLP.
You beautiful babies.
You are wonderful people, ye demons. You're getting your goodies in the mail right now.
Yeah, they're arriving. Like, it's like the... The dark stork has brought you babies of your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Babies made of fabric and metal.
I love babies making babies.
The dark stork, Kelly, I think
that
you're
is really great.
The dork stork.
Dork. So I still need some things from some of you patrons. I need Kevin Lambert. I need your shirt size. Same with Alberto D.
I'm calling them out.
And Dion buys. So if you guys can send me your shirt sizes, I think that's all I need to get the stuff out.
Now collect the reward.
Yeah.
And I will be mailing the remainder of the stuff out this week, the ones who I needed addresses and sizes.
It's like
and stuff
doing
for.
Your homework and then not turning it in.
Yeah. It's a big problem in this country.
It is.
That's what I hear. Dogs eating it.
Dogs constantly eating homework.
Yeah.
The other thing, like I said, thank you. We have a new episode of Night of the Comic out there. We had a great time. If you want to hear Dave eat spaghetti, stick around after the closing song.
Is it zucchini spaghetti?
Oh, it's whole wheat, I think. No, it might be zucchini. Wheat. I don't know. I know it.
Hey, zucchini
noodles. So good.
If you have
again.
A good recipe for zucchini noodles, put it on Reddit and Kelly can tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, send it to me. I did get my cholesterol test results this week and they weren't good. So just FYI, I need healthy ideas.
Yeah, my blood pressure. Yeah. They called me to let me know.
Mike needs to work on his blood pressure. I have high cholesterol. We're all dying.
So you know.
I'm doing okay right now.
So Reddit, help us out. Awesome.
your foot's almost healed, too.
It's almost healed. My blood sugar's under control.
Your blood sugar's. I've lost
some root. I'm all good.
You got a haircut?
I got a haircut.
It's very stylish. Andy got a very stylish haircut as well.
Yeah, Elise gave it to me. Oh, did he? Oh, that's right. He looks like that lady.
Yeah, he said.
Or that person.
Andy sent a text. With him compared to Leah Delaria. Mm-hmm. Delaria.
From Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. And he has her haircut.
Just now, but apparently like they're going through all the same trends together. Like when he gets a haircut, she gets the same haircut.
They're sharing the same moon cycle.
Yeah. We went to what was it called? Does anybody know the name of the special
Dent Schoolhouse Christmas Nightmare?
Yeah, we went with our buddy Paul Gautier.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Shayna.
And we had Spencer. Dinner beforehand with Shayna and Spencer.
Yeah.
At Christine's. Speaking of chili.
Oh, my gosh.
If you live in the tri-state area.
It's down the street from the Dent Schoolhouse. See, called Christine's.
I planted a through line here.
Yeah, if
that
you.
That was so good.
People come from all over to go to the Dent Schoolhouse.
Yeah.
You might as well go to Christine's and have.
Look for the
chili.
Pizza Hut next to the Dent Schoolhouse.
It's in the old Pizza Hut.
In the old Pizza Hut next to the old Dent Schoolhouse. There's an old Filipino restaurant, but it's new.
It's a big menu.
Yeah.
And I have not yet have something on there that wasn't delicious.
Yeah, that's true. We've tried
it's like
number
the Cheesecake
of things.
Factory, but Filipino.
And we all eat off each other's plates. So like going to a restaurant twice with our group of friends is like visiting it like four times alone.
It's like family
or,
style.
No, eight times alone.
Yeah, it's like a buffet.
Yeah. Andy had all these leftovers and he forgot them.
Ooh.
It was like 10 pounds of leftovers.
Because he also had Mike's leftovers.
Yeah.
And
he looked super brokenhearted when he made that realization.
If you know Andy and his relationship with food.
Damn shit.
I know.
Yeah.
But anyway, what we came here for.
Yeah.
Christmas Nightmare.
Yeah, and this is the first year they're doing it back in when we were there in October for the press night. Bud's like, hey, we're doing something really cool in December. You guys got to come see.
Who's Bud?
Bud is the owner-operator of the Dent Schoolhouse.
I knew that.
I appreciate you asking that because the listener didn't know.
They see, did, did they?
We've mentioned Bud him before. But
served it.
And they really did something special.
Yeah, they're just doing it one weekend this year. I hope it's successful and they do it longer next year.
It's not a lot of work.
One weekend. Christmas puked all over the Dent Schoolhouse. And it was really neat.
It was really neat.
It was like cozy and spooky.
Is it a different show? Or a different
slightly different show. In that there are Christmas lights throughout, which brighten the schoolhouse, and it's less scary than the Halloween show.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Do they advertise it as less scary?
No, I think it's just...
It, to me, felt kind of not... I wouldn't say family friendly. You wouldn't want to bring someone under... No. But it's definitely tamer.
It's tamer, but it doesn't suffer from that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's still definitely a really fun experience.
They kick up the fun.
Yeah. And it makes sense that you would tone it down in those respects. It just fits. They nailed it out of the gate, which is saying something for the first time you're doing something of that kind.
Yeah.
Really, I wonder if there's a shortage of Santa hats in America because everything had a Santa hat on it. And I'm just like everything. All the zombies, all the severed heads, all the pumpkins, all the this and that. Everything had a Santa hat on it. But it was adorable.
I'm pretty sure Andy was posting to Instagram while
he did.
Yeah,
he
there's did. Some pics.
So if you want to see some pictures, Andy got a new, he got the Pixel 3 and it has a really cool camera.
It does. He's obsessed very
with
it. Nice.
So he got some great pictures with that.
Great pics.
Red Pat,
check that out.
Yeah, they did. They did a great job. It was a good time.
I've experienced now. This year I've been three times.
We did the trifecta.
You do the regular house initially, then we did lights out and touch, which was more manhandle, and then we did the Christmas version. So I've done all the versions that they have to offer.
I feel like
manhandling now you just got to run the
Preakness. Toxic masculinity there, Amy.
Yeah.
Did you get manhandled? Really?
Okay,
you got manhandled. Good grief!
Person handled.
What was it you said, Kelly? Before
I said, now you got to do the Preakness. Because you did the triple.
Yeah, I always wanted to do the Kentucky Derby with you guys. Doesn't that sound like fun?
For the Dent Schoolhouse Kentucky Derby version?
Let's just go to the Kentucky Derby and drink a bunch of mint juleps.
I tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather just go for a day at, like, Keeneland.
Let's do that. And you can still drink mint juleps, and you can have some bird goo. Is that what they call it?
Bird goo?
Bird goo. There's that, like, stew they make exactly with the horses that lost, I always presume.
I've been to Keeneland. It's a lot of fun.
I have. It is fun. Yeah. I was up like $50 when I left Keeneland. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like mint juleps?
I've never had one.
Ever. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready? I'm not a big fan, but one. I'll drink them at a horse race.
I have had bad mint juleps and thought I wasn't a fan of mint juleps. Then I've had good mint juleps and gone, those are really good. Yeah. There is a big distinction.
I'll have any good
and a bad.
Yeah. Anything?
Except for moonshine eggnog.
I will not have that anymore. That was a part of anything, and now it's been crossed off the list. Also, Tequila Rose.
Oh, yeah, gross.
If you ever have the opportunity to drink that, kill yourself, yeah. Because...
Why do you not like Tequila Rose?
It's the grossest thing.
I thought I liked it, but I haven't had it in so long.
Is it a brand of tequila? Or
it's a liqueur. It's like a creamy thing, right?
See,
it's
any creamy... Nasty. I don't do creamy
liquor. I like Bailey's.
Yeah.
Well, okay, never mind. I do Bailey's.
Is DeSanono's, is that
creamy? No. That's
and I like Kahlua.
Yeah,
I like Kahlua. Tequila Rose is the nastiest thing that was ever made, ever by anyone.
Do you like horchata?
I love horchata.
I don't.
You know, like, but you like that moonshine with the for coffee.
Yeah, so anything you can put in a coffee, I'm okay with. Yeah.
Do you like spoiled milk?
Oh, I love it.
Because the aliens on Alien Nation, that's how they got drunk.
I know it is. So. Both in the movie and the television program.
It's good stuff. So that's also a cream liqueur,
yeah.
So to speak.
Tequila Rose is like what runs through the veins of chuds.
Oh.
So if you cut a chud open, it's all
What is it supposed Rose. To be doing?
I don't even know.
Okay.
It's nasty.
So it's just a creamy tequila.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
It's.
I don't even know if it really has tequila in it.
Isn't it something that you find like in a like next to the wild turkey?
It's in the grocery store.
Yeah, I've seen bottles of it.
I had someone make me a drink with it.
Maybe the drink was bad. No. Have you drank it by itself?
I'm not doing that. It's a Tequila Rose.
Can you just let him have this?
Well, let me just ask you. Have you had it straight?
Maybe. She might have given it to me straight, too.
So I'm going to give it to you straight.
It's the grossest thing.
It's good straight, I thought.
I don't think you're thinking of what it was.
It's real. You put it in a paper bag.
People are different.
You lay on a sidewalk.
I mean, to do a true scientific experiment, we're going to have a control group of straight Tequila Rose and then mixed up Tequila Roses.
What do you mix it with?
And then you're going to have to go through all those, Kelly.
I mix it.
You up for it?
No.
But see, here's the thing. Freddie really likes eggnog, and I can't.
But,
I mean, I can, like, one.
The perfect mixer. Eggnog is good. I like
one
eggnog.
A decade.
The perfect mixer for Tequila Rose is canceled disability benefits.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Freddie, you're being judgmental.
in a Judge Judy marathon.
Yeah, that's accurate.
It's a great pairing.
Yeah.
You know, like you saying that, I've felt Bagel a little bites. Judgment lately because I've been on a... box wine kick because I found a brand I really like.
I like
is
box
it,
wine.
Is it Boda Box?
Bella de Soda.
Oh.
Bella de Soda.
Don't know that one. Try Boda Box. It's good.
What's a Boda Box?
It's box wine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Botta.
I think that wine's getting like it's becoming more egalitarian.
It's having its moment.
Oh, give us that word.
So like you can
it's the word of the day.
It's more for the people.
Yeah.
Egalitarian, more for the people.
So like it's you know, you're seeing it in cans.
It's having its moment.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you what happened is
it's okay.
It's Marvel. Marvel has become for everyone, not just nerds.
Mixed wine has become for everyone. Boxed.
Even more than that, I think the wine producers realize they can't fool people anymore.
Yeah.
Because of the internet, everyone is super savvy and they realize the shit in the box is basically the same shit you're getting in a fancy bottle for
France. That's what happened to me when we were in Epcot. I I was driving home and I was, you know, whatever, Christmas time, and they were like doing samples at Meijer or one of our convenience whatever stores.
It's a grocery store.
And they were doing samples of this. I'm like, yeah, I'm going home for the holidays. I actually need to get liquor. And they did a sample of this stuff. And I was like, that's pretty good for something from Meijer in a box. And I'm not a big wine drinker. Oh, this is a sangria. I should preface that.
Yeah.
So anyhow, then we're at Epcot and I see the box behind the counter, and Epcot doesn't sell junk. Mm-mm. And now I see it like all at a lot of different places in the box, and I'm like, hey, this is pretty good stuff. So maybe it was my judgment that was keeping me away from
doing
a good box wine if sangria.
There is garbage box wine. Be careful, but there is most box wine is just fine.
So it's Bella something, but it's good stuff. And I found there's a new drink that you can put like a little shot of Fireball whiskey in the Bella, and it's right on. So
right on.
Yeah.
I still have not tried it, but I want to try it. And I don't like wine because it triggers major migraines. But and also I don't like the way it tastes. red wine and Coke. I want to do it. Like,
yeah, what do they call
trash that? Italian style. I don't know. I saw it on Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Nice.
But I still have not tried it.
Huh. Well, there you go.
I want to do it.
So red wine and Coke and sangria and Fireball whiskey.
Let's just get trashed
and sick.
Trash, baby.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Of course, Freddie just made me buy the champagne of beers.
Miller High Life?
I get cravings for it.
I love a Miller High Life. Yeah. It's the only
It's okay.
It's the only... What kind of beer is it? Just an American beer?
Yeah, lager. It's a full-flavored domestic lager.
That's the only one I like.
Yeah, I agree. Like Budweiser and Leining... Or not Leining. I like Leining Google, but Budweiser and what's the other big one?
Yingling.
No, I like Yingling.
I'm not a fan.
Huh. I love Yingling. So does that count as one of those?
Yeah.
All right, I like Yingling.
In a bottle?
Yeah.
It's only a draft for me. I don't know why.
I really like it.
I never noticed that you've ever liked any kind of beer.
I used to drink beer all the time, and then I got really hooked on, what do you call it? Hard liquor.
Yeah.
And booze and wine.
I love Mexican lagers. That is my
jam. You do. Usually would go to that.
There's a local brewery here in the Cincinnati called Fretboard.
Oh.
It's in Blue Ash, if anybody was wondering.
Okay.
And they have a Mexican lager called Peso, and it is so fucking good.
Yeah?
Yes.
So there the champagne of beers.
I do love Miller High Life. It was like my first, you want to hear how trashy I used to be? My first apartment.
Used to be.
I used to, when I lived in my first apartment, when my lady was away at work in the evening, I would go over to the Ameristop that was right there. I would get a 40 of Miller High Life. I would come back. I would have on like a wife beater, and just like big cargo shorts. I would take my guitar out on the stoop.
Oh dear!
And I would smoke, and I would play guitar and drink my 40.
Oh my god! On
the stoop. Dude, we would kill so many at band practice. High Life was the beer because it was cheap.
Yeah,
it was good. And the other thing is when I was much younger, I went to Milwaukee for Gen Con, and part of our trip we went on a tour of the brewery, and we had the best beer at the end of it, and it was just Miller High Life.
Yeah.
And now I get a cravings for Miller High Life peanuts and salt and vinegar chips sometimes.
Oh yeah, especially salt and vinegar together. Chips. As my brother was big into what you just said.
Yeah, that's good stuff. It's good for your diabetes.
People, am I right?
I love that image though, because there's nothing I like better than street music.
Yeah,
well, if it's good,
it was with me. Because
yeah, I'm sure it was. I'd stamp that. I'm sure it was.
Did you leave your guitar case open for the neighbors to put dollar bills in?
Oh, I didn't have a case. Yeah. I just carried it around everywhere.
Did you put a hat out?
Mm-mm. No, it was for music is free.
Yeah.
Free band.
Oh, Metallica does not like free you now. You're on their list.
For as much as I love Metallica, I got kicked off of Napster thanks to them.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm. But I forgave them.
You're such a musician. You have beef with Metallica.
I know. Hardcore. Yep. And we're buddies. Like, we, you know, I was like, guys.
Buddy bros.
I don't know how I feel about this. But we came back together. We had an understanding and we hugged it out.
Thank God.
You want to talk about drinks a little bit more?
Sure.
I went to a bourbon raffle in Loveland. It was fancy. I thought I had a pretty good chance. So I was going to help somebody get a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle, which is a pretty fancy.
It's hard to find.
Yes. It's like
a status symbol.
It's a status symbol drink. It's like 30 people have to approve it. And if it's not, then it becomes an Old Well or whatever. Anyhow. So I went to this thing thinking like, okay, we'll have pretty good chances. Supposedly they're going to have 30 bottles of this bourbon. I had no idea bourbon culture is this. It's like, it's crazy. There were at least 500 people.
Jesus.
Lined up for this. Nobody in the group of ours won a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle. I wasn't going to buy it because that just seems ridiculous to me. I would buy something much cheaper, but somebody I knew really wanted it, so we're trying. But anyhow, didn't know bourbon culture. Huge.
It's just, and again, it's it one is. Of the, I was telling you that I heard that story about the bartender with the Pappy Van Winkle who used it for Jello shots because he resented that it really wasn't that great of a bourbon. It's just that people wanted it because it was hard to get.
Yeah.
Do you think the craft beer nerds, like that whole subculture, we're all, there's a backlash and now it's the craft spirits?
I think it's the same crowd.
And it's
the,
so hipstery.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like art collecting or toy collecting.
Yeah.
I think it's just people want the exclusivity of the item.
I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what. The thing that I like about the bourbon is that they're trying to like go into this other culture where they're saying like the idea of a bourbon is that it's about enjoying the moment. So like Pappy Van Winkle's whole slogan is enjoy this moment because you're not supposed to enjoy it with friends. Like
very
you're not
mindful.
Supposed to crack. Yeah, you're not supposed to crack open a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle by yourself and just chug it down. You have friends over, you I'll crack open the bottle, might. And you have this.
I said, I'll tell you who moment. Might.
Oh, yeah.
You.
But I agree with what they're saying.
Yeah, no, I dig that part of it. Yeah. If you're going, you know, you're drinking the beer, you're probably going to drink severals and whatever.
Yeah.
But that you're there to savor and have a moment shared. Yeah. So I can appreciate that. But
yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. If we had it, it would be something we would,
yeah,
we would be splitting literally the night it turned up.
Yeah.
Sure. But there's no way in a million years I could ever see myself spending that kind of money on bourbon.
I will say Buffalo Trace is about, I mean, it doesn't, it's so good that you might as well stick with it.
Yeah, like, you know, it's very good. So like Bullet Makers. And Makers.
Bullet.
Yeah.
Ours is generally, we go Buffalo Trace and Bullet.
Yeah.
And then from there, whatever else.
Yeah.
All right.
Fermented Dew. When you drink that out of like a lily cup.
When you're real small and you got little wings.
You're an elf.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Fantastic. Anything else before we move on?
No, ma'am.
Hey.
No pig.
That'll do, pig.
Don't we usually talk about something on this show?
I think it's movies and such.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Movies.
Y'all want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do that.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Bow, 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 bow. Okay, hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Cling, cling.
Watch.
Cling.
A little film called
Cling, 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 cling. That's the sound of Amy's tips coming in.
Oh, I thought you were hitting a question box button.
No, she's like,
I wasn't quite sure what he was doing.
How could you not?
I watched Cam. Cam.
Stephen King loves this movie.
It's very good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You should. It was really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, it was really good. It's on Netflix. we have a young lady. Her name is Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a cam girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's keeping it secret from her fam.
Safe.
But she's very ambitious. She wants to achieve a very high rank. Get that money, yo.
She wants some big cam girl dollars.
Yes.
The myth of the cam girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Kelly knows a lot about cam girls, I think, right?
I do.
Yeah. So you could have consulted on the creation of this film.
I should have. I should have been consulted.
You should give color commentary as she describes what happened.
It's got it's a little bit of what's the movie I'm trying to think of? Just any of those social media movies.
It's like Black Mirror.
Unfriended, because it's very much taking place. You're seeing what's happening on the computer.
Hashtag horror.
Hashtag horror. Searching. Yeah. You know, and also taking
Unfriended.
Unfriended and all
North
that.
North by Northwest.
The R.L. Stine version, Frightening Facebook.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fright book. Yeah.
Her name is Lola on screen.
She was a showgirl.
her cam girl name is Lola, and she's again just extremely ambitious and really wants to achieve a high rank. And she does things.
She on ManyVids, Chatterbait.
It's called Free Girls Live.
Oh, one of the ones that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
She does very shocking things to try to, you know, get her tips up and get her rank up. You know, like
get her what up?
Pretending to hurt herself and things like that. Things are going along swimmingly until one day.
Oftentimes they're not pretending.
to hurt themselves, you mean.
Right. Yeah. Till one day she's all of a sudden getting she can't get into her account. And she's
fuck hacked.
She gets a notification that she's on live. Get that. And she's like, I'm not. I'm sitting right here. I'm in bed. And
get that strong password, girl.
Right.
She had a strong password, as we learned later.
Oh my.
And she looks at the live broadcast, and it's her doing something, and she cannot remember ever doing, and she's going back through her calendar because she writes down everything she does.
Beach week,
shark week. And she, you know, and then it's just this kind of like mind fuck mystery, like what the fuck's happening. And it gets really twisted and very Black Mirror-y, and spooky and creepy, and it's just really well done. The young lady who plays Lola/Alice is really good.
I think this is written by a person who has done cam.
Oh, camming. Really?
Yeah.
Issa Mazet?
Yeah, I think she
was
a cam girl or is a cam girl, has done camming.
And then there's, Isabel Link Levy, who also, well, there were three writers credited, but I think the one you're talking about is...
Did she have a bad experience that she based some of this on? Or
I don't know.
It's okay. Not bad. It's actually not... it doesn't shit on the cam girl work the way you might think it does.
I mean, they do... You know, there's creepy motherfuckers that are assholes.
Yeah. Well, that's just real.
Yeah, that's just life. And just that aspect of it, and then the shame of, you know, when your family finds out that not the shame. There shouldn't be. There's not shame in it. And actually, you know, I think her family is kind of cool about it. But just like the having to keep that secret and the way people can't handle it and kind of bully you for it and those sorts of things.
You can find out all about it again on Reddit. There are multiple subreddits where there are cam girls that do AMAs. Mm-hmm. You can find out, like, there's our sex work where, I mean, people talk very candidly. You can ask questions.
Yeah,
it's AMA interesting.
Ask me anything.
Ask me anything.
American Medical Association.
Gotcha. That too.
It's Madeline Brewer, the lead that Amy was talking about. She's the one-eyed character on Handmaid's Tale.
Which I haven't watched.
And she was also on Orange is the New Black. She was the girl with the cornrows who I think was a heroin addict, I want to say. I think. It's been a while since I watched that. The actress who plays her mom has a really great, that's Melora Walters, has like a really great filmography. She worked on all those Paul Thomas Anderson movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think she was in every one of his movies. Amy Mann videos. But she's also was George Costanza's topless girlfriend on Seinfeld, which was really a great episode.
There's a lot of nudity.
Yes.
Okay. There's lots a hard of... R.
Yeah, gotcha. Definitely. I mean, it doesn't feel gratuitous, which is kind of silly to say. Feels silly to say when you're talking about cam girls.
Yeah, but this could be preachy.
There is some, it looks like real stuff that they're showing that's probably somebody gave permission to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy. And the way it ends, I don't want to give anything away. I think it's definitely worth a watch. A
lot of high praise coming out for this movie.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things.
And this was a straight-to-Netflix movie, or is this a...
It's a Netflix
Blumhouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix, I guess, worked together.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm sure they bought it. I don't know that they produced it or not. Do you?
I'm not in charge of these things. I don't know.
They went down to an estate sale, and they saw it being auctioned off, and they just picked it right up.
It was in the bin at Walmart.
Mm-hmm. $5.
Next to Passion of the Christ.
They just bought all of them.
Mm-hmm. It's like $5.
Then they bought all the Passion of the Christ, and they threw them away.
Cool. I'm looking forward to watching that one then.
Yeah, and then the wheels start turning in your head, and you're like, shit, she's making a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Again, though.
I know.
That's not like that's really not most real. People's experience. Yeah. I mean, some people make a lot of money for a certain amount of time, but like it's not something forever. Indefinite. And most it's
not sustainable.
You also have to work. You have to be basically masturbating.
Constantly.
Constantly. Like you have to be on all day. You have to really like form relationships with your clients. It's not an easy thing to do.
No.
Hmm. Told you you knew his stuff.
I didn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I would never doubt Kelly
practically
when it comes to
cam girl himself.
I could be a kid. Well, you know.
I've thought about it, too.
Yeah.
Cam boys.
Cam boys. I mean, I've done amateur cam boy work. Yeah. pro bono. Pro boner.
Pro boner. So yeah, Cam, watch it. Just fucking watch it. Just go do it.
I watched a lot of it with you.
Yeah.
Most of it. I couldn't pay 100% attention because I was dealing with a lot of other stuff, but what I saw was very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. No. God. No.
We could do a Patreon level where we cam with people while they're watching cam.
There you go.
I was sitting on my Sidian.
Nothing gross.
Nothing gross.
I mean, on their end, that's up to them, but on our end. Well, Andy. Yeah.
He would do that.
He would do things.
But only after Christmas.
Yeah.
He'll be back after the holidays.
There you go.
But back at it.
Cam.
The Modern Family spinoff.
Yeah, Freddie loves
tell
that joke.
Tell it.
Yeah. That's the joke. The joke is a Modern Family spinoff.
He loves it.
It's pretty good.
All right, let's see who's going to watch the next one. Kelly, I got a movie, Gun Moving Bullet.
All right, put it in my mouth.
You lived.
That's my favorite kind.
Do you want me to suck it?
Mikey B.
Oh!
Skipped. Freddy. Dead. Dead. Movie dead. Everywhere. Oh, you get to watch a movie. We were just talking about this with Paul last night. It's on Shudder. It's a Shudder exclusive.
It's not Summer of 84, is it?
No, it's called You Might Be the Killer.
Oh, I just saw this ever.
Yeah. Nice job.
Nice job.
Good job.
Yeah.
Sam flees from a masked killer at camp. It slowly dawns on him that he might be the killer.
Oh,
with the help of his film buff friend Chuck, Sam navigates through horror movie tropes to try and make it out of this plot alive.
Oh.
Starring Fran Kranz and Allison Hannigan.
It's got a good cast. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So there you go.
I like the poster.
Did Paul say he liked it or just saw he liked the poster?
Yeah. Okay. And I've seen a lot of people talking about it on the internets.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be great. I like the poster.
I mean,
I'm going to wait for your review to watch it.
Yeah.
You took a good bullet, Freddie.
Thank you. I'm good at taking
notes. This is one where I need to hear what you have to say because I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
Because the poster looks cool, but the synopsis sounds dumb.
You're like, you don't know if you want to devote your time to it or not.
This is a great service that you're about to provide.
Thank you. I'm very interested.
It makes me feel important.
Because I wasn't going to watch the Cam movie until I heard Amy's. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for your service.
Yeah, Cam is the sort of movie I probably would not have watched.
You're a hero.
I saw it and I was like, meh, I don't want to watch. That just sounds like it's exploitative in some way. I just wasn't sure. It just felt gross to me.
But then you were forced to do it.
Well, I was forced to do it. Plus, I saw the trailer and I'm like, okay, that might be kind of interesting.
Oh, guys. So. Big change tonight. Big drop in temperatures expected.
Yeah.
Thanks, Weather Channel.
It's already cold.
Yeah, well,
Al Roker.
Is it going to get real hot?
It's supposed to warm up.
Okay.
It says a big drop in temperature.
Oh, fuck.
Freddie added the weather widget to his cam show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bling, bling. Hey, guys. Who wants to see me stand out in the rain?
When it's below 32, his thing goes off.
My penis is totally inverted, guys. Bling, bling. It's so cold out here.
It's an inside boner.
Bling, bling,
that might be somebody's thing.
Yeah, certainly it is.
Got a thing.
Definitely is.
All right, we'll be right back.
Damn it.
This week's main attraction is the Pizza Door Challenge. it's The World's End by Edgar Wright, written by Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright. The third installment of the Cornetto trilogy.
I love this movie.
Blood and
so
Ice Cream trilogy, depending on who you are.
Yeah, depending on who you are.
So it's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never seen Hot Fuzz.
Oh, it's so great.
Ooh, that's really
I love
good.
Hot Fuzz.
I do too.
Sorry.
No, I love Hot Fuzz.
On a cam, girl.
I would say that it's Shaun of the Dead is my favorite. I mean, it's my top three movies, period. It's, I think, the warmest. But I think this one is, like, the best overall.
Mm.
I think it's the best written.
Yeah.
And it's directed and acted. Yeah.
It's the second time I've seen it, was watching it for the show. I use this as an excuse to buy the Cornetto trilogy myself. I was very happy to have an excuse to do that.
Uh-huh.
I got to see this. When this came out, they showed all three in a row, and
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I got to go see.
Is there like any kind of throwbacks to? I mean, I know it's the ice cream thing, but like, are there little things that tie them together?
There are things that repeat, like the jumping fence. Over the fence, and there are a ton of other little things.
And the people walking in tandem.
Yeah.
People
getting holes punched in them, or like,
oh, okay, that makes sense because I thought the walking in tandem part, I was like, this is going on long, it's cute. Yeah, okay. That makes sense that it's a throwback.
Yeah. Second viewing, I thought this movie was even better than when we saw it.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's so sad.
It's real sad.
It is sad.
It's heartbreaking.
And it kind of hits me because I'm of that age now.
Yeah.
Kissing your 40s.
Yeah.
And it's looking like, at your 40s.
You got to grow up. You can't try to relive, you know, great memories from when you were young. And I'm like, well, I mean, you can sort of do some of that. But anyway, not well, here.
Don't yet. We all know a Gary King in our lives?
Oh, yeah. I have known them. It's such a great, like, there's that moment where, because it's such a rumination on people who can't get, you know, over the past. And there's that great moment for me, which is like my favorite, where they're playing that Suede song, So Young. And they're all walking down the street together. And Gary King is he's in the same exact clothes.
Yeah.
And all his buddies have like basically grown. It's like watching Peter Pan with the Lost Boys all grown up, trying to like get them to fly again. And they can't really.
But yeah. it's that they're, some of them are actually happy. That yeah. They're flying in a different
way.
Well,
that's the thing. Yeah, their lives are basically okay.
I mean, until he picks away at the veneer and he realizes that none of them are happy.
Yeah.
Because the guy who's dating, the one who they think is the happiest is the guy who's, I'm dating a 26-year-old fitness instructor.
Right, but he's
he never got
with,
over, his buddy's sister.
Right.
One guy, you think Nick Frost's character is happy, but his marriage is falling apart.
Yeah.
Martin Freeman's character, I think the problem with him is, like, he's like a workaholic.
Yeah.
And then, and what's
the other guy's family? Peter. Just doesn't even know he's there,
right? His family ignores him. Peter,
but the main guy is holding on to just being, he's an alcoholic. I mean, like,
he's a drug addict.
He's a complete burnout. Like,
So in the reality, a lot of this, that, you know, it's a wake up call, you know, for most of them, is kind of snapping them out and just bringing them back to whatever it is that made them happy in the first place. You're responsible for your own happiness. Seems like a big motive or a motif in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also the, it's, you know, a criticism of being overly connected, you know, I mean, from the moment you see Martin Freeman's character with the Bluetooth headset in throughout the entire movie. And then you realize when you get to the third act of the movie that indeed the network is the alien robot people. Right. And he's the one, the first one to buy into it, is the guy who's always plugged in.
Right.
It's just real sad.
It is.
it's really sad.
There's a lot of mini criticisms too, like the criticism of like how they're kind of turning everything in England. All the pubs are being switched into these like corporate, you know, Starbucks type places. They all look exactly the same, and they're just kind of ruining that old, you know, they're going through and turning everything old into new, shiny bullshit.
Everything imperfect.
Yeah.
I don't get the whole, like, super sad part about this film. It's that they needed to reunite to give themselves whatever it was to wake up to what they did have.
Well, I think the sad thing is that Gary King has not, what I love about the Cornetto trilogies and Spaced also is like there's dialogue that's completely natural, but then it also doubles as these big moments. And there's that moment where what's her face looks at him and she's like, what happened to you? And he says, nothing.
You know, right? Sam?
Sam, yes, yeah. Thank you. And he says, nothing. And it's like, it's both like a regular, like, nothing, but it's also like nothing
literally
ever happened
nothing,
to him.
Yeah.
Like, he just stayed in that spot for his whole life. Like, you almost get the hint that he might not even have had sex since high school. Like, he's driving the same car. He's wearing the same clothes. He's been in rehab, in and out of, like, you know, the hospital, you assume, and rehab. And it's just, he's so deluded that going on this thing is, like, all that he has in his life.
Right. I think he even says it's the last happy moment he had.
It is, and it's all he's got. When they get to the world's end, he said, it's all I've got.
And honestly,
it's what he's been living for all these years.
And you think that he has some sort of epiphany at the end, but honestly, he just hangs out with his buddies
at
the end of the world.
But while that's the part that I think is not sad, like, ultimately, the end of the world works for Gary King because I think in the end he gets what he wanted. He wanted to hang out with his teenage buddies for the rest of his life And he gets that. And yeah. he's in a world where you don't have to, there is no jobs and corp. He's on a par with everybody else now. Like, everybody's life is hard and weird. And he yeah. gets to just do what he wants.
Yeah, I agree to an extent that, yeah, like, there's a wish fulfillment thing happening for that character. And then by chance, it also seems to work out for everyone else. Because they all, when Nick Frost is doing the monologue at the end.
Well, it's bittersweet.
It is very bittersweet.
It's bittersweet, but like in a weird way, you're like, well, he got what he wanted. That's right. what he really wanted.
That's what he really wanted, but a couple of his friends technically are dead.
Oh, no, that's, I don't mean everybody got what they wanted. For Gary King, he got.
But they do retcon them into happy endings for them because like they take the time to set up, well, essentially you're still you when you're downloaded into this body.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're not.
It's not. Yeah. And
it's a little upsetting.
It is. It's bittersweet. It's not a happy ending. But it's like, it's one of those, everybody's going to move on. Like, but you're going to move on from this, and you're going to take the good and the bad. And
take them both, and then you have.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I think it is a happy ending. Like, Nick Frost's character in that is... They get to relive this one fun night that they all seem to have a good time.
Yeah.
Gary King got to do that again, and now he's reliving it. And the line in that for me that kind of... They got me at the very end is Nick Frost saying... He's like, whatever he's doing, I hope... Just hope he's happy.
Yeah.
I just want him to be happy. And he's doing what makes him happy. Yeah, and so is right. Nick Frost.
And he's sober.
I'll give you that.
They order waters.
They order waters. But there's probably no booze left.
You think?
You can make it in a turlet.
They even kind of allude to that. Like, the reason King Arthur had to drink mead was because there was no running water.
Yeah.
No clean water. So there's probably more booze than there is clean water.
Okay.
Think about it.
Yeah, good call.
So let me ask you the question. I love an English pub. How adorable, how cozy, unless they are turned into corporate... nothingness.
Yeah. Right. I wish they had better beer in them.
Yeah, Foster's.
Foster's. Yeah. Even, like, we only have... I've never been in an actual English pub.
They got Guinness. England. Guinness is good.
But the American versions of English pubs all have terrible beer.
Mm-hmm.
Well...
In my opinion.
In my humble opinion.
You don't love a Boddington's?
No, it's terrible. I
love a Guinness. That's maybe one of my favorite-y favorite-est
beers. But that's my ideal kind of bar. Wood...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cozy, paneling. Quiet. Right. I don't want blaring music.
Yeah,
just something low lighting.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, and the idea that they're going to do these 12 pubs—that's the bar crawl in Newton
Haven—is
kind of. It sounds fun. Like, that would be a great time. But then I think, oh, you're going to be 39 in a month, and I
12 pints of beer.
I know. I had two margaritas last night, and I had a headache. Like. I don't know that I can handle it, but it sounds great.
And honestly, the other guys don't seem to remember it as fondly. Like, when he's first getting together, they're like, I got sick. I don't think I want to do this. But the interesting thing is they still show up.
Right.
That's the real catch.
Well, because he lies to them, basically.
Right, but I think there's more to it even. There is a part of it. Like, they still don't have to show up, but they do.
The beautiful thing about this film to me is that, like, the real truth about happiness is, like, yeah, you can look back at your younger years, but if you really look back with a true lenses, you're like, what I know now, if I could take what I know now and evolve that person I knew then, is what I am in this moment.
It is what you, that's what you become.
And you can, I mean, to me, the levels of it, of happiness and joy and love that I can experience now with my evolved mind from when I was 18 or 17 is so much deeper. It's so much more real.
I would never go back to that age. I would never go back.
No, absolutely not. But like we tease this idea where Simon Pegg's character in this film, we tease this idea of like what it was like in our younger years, like it was so great. But we know more. We are more capable of love, more capable of being present. We are more capable of experience, true connection, happiness, joy, all of those things now with what we know. As long as we continue to evolve, the cost of the evolution is simply the knowledge that we have that things are not always great. Things don't always go well,
right.
But it's that cost that we have to pay that makes the feelings that we feel in this moment so much more worth it, so much more valuable.
So much better.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what you get in this film. It's really like a metaphor of him going, they're going through this horrific experience. They're doing it with fun. They're doing it connected to people that they love, which is really the moment. And then in the end, they evolve or they don't. They become robots. They take the green pill, they whatever that is. But
although Peter did evolve and still became a robot because he stood up to his bully finally.
Yeah.
And it still blew up in his face, so to speak. I mean, if that's considered a bad thing in this conversation, that being ground up and turned into mulch is a bad thing,
right?
Then I would say that I don't want that to happen.
For sure.
Although, unless the whole download into the robot body is legit, and you really are still you.
Yeah.
Well, you're not. I mean, they said there's a subtle difference. It's you're not you, but you are you. Yeah. I think the idea behind that is just like you got to take, you know, life is going to be what it is. Like you're just living it and find the best you can, find the joy that you can find. I want to talk again real quick about though. I found it really heartbreaking at that moment when he yells out, they told me when to go to bed. Like,
I know, just, God, that whole,
yeah. And you see that he that tried so to rough. Cut his wrists and,
that's a great moment earlier in the film, too, when they do the homage to the thing where they're all trying to determine if any of them have been replaced.
Right, he won't show
them. He won't show them his arms because they say, well, if you've been replaced, you reset, so all your scars
and tattoos and stuff
will be gone.
Right.
So they're proving to each other by showing each other scars, tattoos, blah, 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 blah. And when it comes to his arms, he won't show them. And then the reveal is in the third act that he was covered in bandages from trying to commit suicide.
Yeah. And I also like I feel like a lesser director, someone who wanted to take this story, they would have tried to make him like really cool through most of the movie, and you wouldn't have known about kind of the sort of sad, pathetic, you know, backstory until maybe the end. But you're presented with Gary King as Gary King from the get-go, just somebody that, like you said, everybody kind of has those friends that you're like, I really don't want to talk to this dude, but we got a history, and
they are usually addicts.
Yeah, and
it's a hard thing too.
You can't wait for them to kind of leave. They're always borrowing money, and you know,
in our addiction brains, though, sometimes we really are robots. But like, think about like how many things do you do where you drove to work and you don't remember anything that happened during your drive, or you're in your shower, you're taking a shower in the morning and you're going through everything that you have to do. You're basically having your morning meeting in your shower.
A lot of autopilot.
You are a robot. You're literally a robot, and you don't take the time to go, oh my God, like I'm in a house right now with warm running water, and the water feels good, and I'm cleaning myself, and I'm enjoying this moment and this ritual and whatever I'm doing. No, you're being a robot. So like, or the metaphor is so fleshed out in this movie.
You're taking a big dump, and you stand up, and you keep dumping. And then you walk into your kitchen, you start making coffee, and you left a trail of dump through your house.
Yeah, it's the trail of tears.
That's the routine. That's the morning routine.
I want to talk about dumb robots, because I had forgotten.
Have we synopsized this film at all?
It's fine.
Okay.
But I had forgotten.
pub crawl into the world.
And they find that their hometown has been replaced by sort of robots.
Alien robots. Yeah. So I had forgotten this. I had forgotten about the road. I just forgot about that part. So it's the scene where he's in the bathroom and he's talking to the young kid in there, Gary King, and he's just
inviting him on
the pub crawl with him. You can come with us, because he's just
that he wants sad. Young energy, and he wants everybody to be around him.
And the kid is just not responding to him at all, and you know he's getting mad, and he like starts to like roughhouse with him, and the kid's like, "You don't want to do that," and then he like throws him against the urinal, his head pops off. And I had just forgotten about that.
Well, I think that speaks to like how well written the dialogue in the movie is. Yeah. You forget about some of the more extreme moments in the movie, the extreme visual moments, because the acting and the dialogue is so good.
And the emotional beats are what I remembered. But like, okay, so let's talk about the robots. The robots are really good at fighting, and they'll fight, but they're so easily breakable.
They're squishy.
And I felt like some of that, I was like,
well, that's an homage to...
They can't be that breakable, but then they cannot be breakable in this moment. But in this moment, they squish into a million pieces, but not in this time.
You guys remember the poster for Stepford Wives where she's her head's laying on the ground, it's shattered open.
Yeah.
Like, that never happens in the movie, The Stepford Wives, and Edgar Wright, I think, was really disappointed that that never actually happened on screen. That's why he put the shattering heads in this.
I also think there's a... this could be completely wrong, and there's nothing to base this on other than simple semi-similarities, but it's sort of like From Dusk Till Dawn, which is another movie that, like, is one thing and then takes a hard left. And it's very similar to how squishy the vampire, like how easily physically the vampires could be overtaken.
Yeah.
And were very gross and juicy, but there were so many of them that, you know, the group was sort of overwhelmed. That I wonder if he kind of just tongue-in-cheekily.
I just learned that, and I didn't know this.
It didn't need to make a lot of sense. But in my brain, I'm like, but why did you throw that one into a wall and it didn't bust open?
Yeah, maybe you just got to hit him just right. Remember, he says, twist the melon.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know about, you were talking about From Dusk Till Dawn. I didn't realize that they went more over the top with From Dusk Till Dawn with the vampire kills to get a lower rating from the MPAA.
To make it more cartoonish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when they originally were going to use like red blood, make it more realistic, like they were flirting with getting like an X, I think.
Yeah.
And when they made it real gooey and green and stuff, they were able to get an R.
Well, these robots bleed blue. They're blue bloods.
Well, this is, everything about this is just damn near perfect. And Elise made a good, like she said that it's possible Edgar Wright is maybe like the best working director right now. I don't know. He's got a very unique...
He does.
He's got a very unique style, and it's all his own. Like, I don't think you see his influences on his sleeve as much as some other people.
Yeah.
And it's more, you know, he's sort of influencing other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's great. I love it. I mean, as I've mentioned many times, Space is my favorite show, TV show of all time.
I still haven't seen Baby Driver.
Baby Driver's great.
Yeah.
It's not as great as this, but it's really fun. I think you'll really like it. It's just there's so much heart, but so much fun and great action. The soundtrack is always really good. Everything looks great. It's just
Amy, why do you think they might have made those robots so vulnerable?
Because it looked cool.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't.
I mean, I think there might be something. That. Some. Maybe it's just the idea of like them being robots, and they are vulnerable. They're not thinking. They're not able. They're not able to do anything other than a calculation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also think
they're not free. They don't feel.
Right.
They don't.
Because when you see what's his name, Nick Frost, off and go into like Hulk mode. Like, he just can tear through those guys because he's freaking...
Great fight sequences.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think it's possible, too, like, when you listen to how the network kind of infiltrated, it wasn't a violent sort of takeover. So it's also possible that the robots only were given, like, a fight kind of programming for worst-case scenario. They may not have been built with violence in mind, so it's easy to tear them apart.
Yeah,
because
their goal is not to kill people.
Yeah, so
to mulch them and make trees grow.
Yeah,
so you know, that can maybe go to help you flex tape that slight little tear in your suspension of disbelief.
Yes,
where they were not built to be very sturdy.
Had a realization. I think I find Martin Freeman a little attractive.
He's cute, right?
You just realized that.
I think I always do that, but in this movie, I was like, oh, yeah.
He's cutie pie. I love that guy. Yeah.
Can I get you to watch The Hobbit now?
No.
Okay.
He's the best thing about The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Easily.
It's which is so sad to me because The Hobbit it means so much to me. And
I just don't want
it. I like the second Hobbit movie a lot. I haven't watched the last one yet.
The first two are... There's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But Martin Freeman is great.
Yeah,
and he's great in The Hobbit. I'd watch it just to watch him and some of the other things.
Other notable cast members from The World's End besides Martin Freeman, Pierce Brosnan's in it.
Yes, he is
as their old teacher. David Bradley, who we all know as the janitor character from Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Michael Smiley, if you haven't seen Kill List, definitely check out Kill List. It's an awesome movie.
Haven't seen it.
It's really, really good. And some of my favorites are also in this.
Well, of course.
Nick Frost. Alice Lowe. Has a real small part in this. She was in she was in Sightseers, if you haven't seen that. She just was in Revenge, which I hear is great. I haven't seen that, but she's just a really great actress. Another one that you should look up for, Steve Oram. He was the motorcycle cop. He's also in Sightseers. He and Alice Lowe are the leads in that. Then I wanted to,
what about Rosamund Pike?
Yeah, Rosamund Pike. She's great.
She's always great. Some other regulars. Unfortunately, I can't think of their real names, but the guy that played Tires on Spaced is the Reverend Green.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy who played one of the Andes from Hot Fuzz, Patty Considine might be his name.
Yeah, that's right.
He plays Steve. He's great.
And then Darren Boyd, who plays the bully.
Yes.
He had a great show called, he's been on a lot of great shows, but he was on a show called Spy, where he's like a single dad character who gets recruited by like MI6, and like he can't tell anybody, like his ex-wife treats him like a shit and his son doesn't respect him, but it's an awesome sitcom. Reese Shearsmith, I'm like a huge fan of. I've been recommending to you like League of Gentlemen forever, right? And Inside Number 9. He's one of the creators. He's the guy with the glasses who hangs out at the bar, who's into the whole takeover.
Yeah.
His character, that character is almost one of his characters from League of Gentlemen. They have these kind of businessman scenes in there that are right. Really funny. League of Gentlemen, if you haven't watched it and you're a fan of Edgar Wright's work, it's very much like these movies.
I've always meant to catch up to it.
You gotta watch it.
I'm gonna catch
Kelly,
up to
Kelly, I wanna
it.
Talk to you about
it's
it.
It's on the list.
Yeah, you gotta watch that.
Kelly can't
and
watch
Inside
everything.
Number 9. They're so good. You gotta watch that. Bill Nighy is the voice of the network.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
Who are we forgetting? Anybody that stands out to you?
I don't think so.
But that's one of the things about Edgar Wright movies that I love, especially the trilogy here, is like that it is almost like what do they call it, like a repertory or whatever. Group
spotting people from different things.
He uses them differently. And then the more British comedy I watch, Amy thinks I'm obsessed, and I am.
He is.
Yeah, well, you can find him in other stuff.
Then you go back and watch his movies again, and you're like, oh, he's pulling people from all these other series, and they're really just great
Black
comic
Books
actors.
Has a lot Black of the Books, same people.
Yeah.
Like people he just wants to work with.
Yeah, they're just
people
really
he sees
great.
A lot of people from Spaced.
Had you ever, and so you watch a lot of British television, had you ever heard of the sex term of a marmalade sandwich?
No, this is the first time I heard that.
Okay, just curious.
Two blondes and a redhead in the middle.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you caught on to this, but
you made me giggle.
You know, in Hot Fuzz, you had Timothy Dalton as a villain. And this one, you had Pierce Brosnan. You got your two bonds.
Working through the bonds.
I don't think there was one in Shaun of the Dead, though.
Oh. No.
I don't think they had, he didn't have the clout to get that level of performer or a famous performer.
Yeah.
But I really just want to go back and watch Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz again.
Which is on Shaun of the Dead's on Netflix right now.
I bought all three of them, so I'm gonna eat them up.
Fancy.
They're on Freddy Flix right now.
I need to buy a box of we call them drumsticks here.
We do call them drumsticks. I would totally do an all three in a day.
And how many?
I've done it once before.
How many ice cream cones would you eat?
Three.
One per film?
I could eat one for every. Can we do an ice cream cone pub crawl?
I love that idea.
12, one for each bar on the Golden Mile.
Then we'd have diarrhea at 13.
What beverages mix well with ice cream?
Oh,
we could do shakes.
Water.
Kahlua.
Oh, we will.
Champagne.
Rum. Our freaking
water.
Sold out.
Water. Yeah.
Water.
You should. If somebody says they don't want to drink, you shouldn't pressure them.
No, you shouldn't.
No. I'm just saying that, listener. True. Just don't be that person.
Yep.
Great movie. Really made me confront my station in life.
Super high quality. Amy, we got to get you to Hot Fuzz.
Okay.
Yeah, we should watch that today while we're laying around.
No, I have a nap planned.
Mm-hmm.
You should dream about Hot Fuzz.
Okay.
Like, read the IMDb for it, read a bunch of reviews, get a real good idea of what it's about.
And then practice my lucid dreaming.
Sleep. Yeah.
Or we could do
a Cornetto Day. Or Cornetto we could act it out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in Reign of Fire.
Exactly like that.
But so Star Wars, you guys.
Fell asleep, sorry.
We do the Cornetto Trilogy.
So coming up next week,
yes,
I'm very excited to revisit this one, another English film, 28 Days Later.
Oh, Cillian Murphy, one of my boys. I
haven't seen that in a million years. I'm so excited.
This was Iona Goodwin's pick.
Oh, it's such a good choice.
Great choice.
If you want to be able to pick one of our main attractions, all you've got to do is be a Beelzebub, not Beelzebub, sorry, a mammon or higher on our Patreon membership, and you will get entries into our monthly raffle, which will be happening in 2 weeks. Also, Origins was late. I was going to release it on Friday, but I've been sick. I'm finally better, and we're going to get that out ASAP, so that you should probably have that available to you the same time you're listening to this.
I was sick. I got better.
He had a hot ear. Mm-hmm. All right, well.
What does that bring us to, Amy?
Brings us to our Beelzebub babies.
Our beautiful Beelzebub babies.
Never been a more beautiful group of Beelzebub babies.
Our triple B's.
So proud of our babies.
Bust out those triple B's.
Jimmy B.
Bling, bling. Hi, Jimmy.
You want me to put it where? You're
good to me.
Jeremy and Cassie.
Bling, bling, bling. Couples. Couples are always welcome in our room.
Be respectful.
But be respectful, please.
Deadeye.
Deadeye, I won't do anything that requires me to get stitches after, but thanks for asking. Thanks for your support.
Amanda.
Amanda, I don't eat meat, but thanks for the care package.
Dale.
Cookies from Dale. Cookies. Homemade! Some homemade them.
Mandy.
Mandy, stop screwing with my channel. You're just trying to keep me from breaking top 50.
Adam.
Adam! That's very dark, Adam. It's inappropriate. Block this user.
Brooke.
Hi. Brooke, I like your emoji that you sent where the smiley face blob pulls her shirt up and her boobs fall out the bottom.
That did happen in Cam and it was fantastic. Ernest.
Ernest. I was like a topless Ms. Pac-Man. And then you had a dancing eggplant dildo thing. I don't know how you guys code that stuff. You're brilliant.
Tree and Alex.
Another couple. Hi.
God. Brandon Boone. Brandon,
you sit on that thing for a while, but believe me, it destroys your clit.
That is a line from Bill.
Seriously, this girl I knew one time, she lost all sensation in her punani area.
Blake.
Seriously though, it looks like an Atari 2600 joystick. Ding, ding. I see the tips are slowing down. Maybe I'm getting a little too detailed.
Mark. Ding, 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 ding. Mark.
Private chat with Mark. You want to watch me take a bath, Mark?
You should. Freddie loves takes baths.
I read comic books.
He does.
And I try to find good bath bombs that go with them, like a Spider-Man smell. Swip, swip.
Finally, ding-a-ding-a-ding. Elise. Ding-a-ding.
Elise, you'll never take my number one spot from me. Never nude. Ding.
I think your clients realized that you were a 40-year-old man and not a 20-year-old girl when you said punani. I think that's why
your tips were going up.
Punani. All right, beautiful babies. We'll be back with you next week.
It was good chatting with you again, listeners.
Nice chatting with you. Thanks for the tips.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Give and get love.
Bye.
Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on Dawn of the Dead. And Igor made the nachos in severed human head, and they enjoy the movie with their friends. David K. to have.